had a chance to speak with Dan Ralston. Forgot to tell you also yesterday in the morning, and he's doing great. He just sends his regards. And just talking to him, I was reminded in our conversation of a message he gave here not too long ago. Was it like 2 weeks ago he spoke here? Was it that, John? Like 2 weeks ago? All right. And he had mentioned something about convenient. And it's something that just kept on ringing in my mind. And I just wanted to follow up with that. All right. I wanted to talk to you tonight about convenience. We're a society that loves convenience, you know. And we just love to have things save us work, to add comfort to our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And I remember when we were, maybe this is dating me, but there was a time in my generation when you'd have to go to the supermarket to get your canned goods and bottled goods, and then you'd have to go to the fruit store, and then to the butcher, and then to the fish market, and they were all, you know, blocks away from each other. But now it's all under one roof. It's very convenient, you know. The downside of that is that the butcher lost his job, the fisherman lost his job, and big business has followed up mom and pop, you know. But as Americans in particular, we love to have that freedom to do things whenever or however they suit us. It's almost, you know, goes along with being an American. It's our right to do things whenever and however they suit us. And that's convenient. That's a good thing, you know. If you want to reach somebody, press the phone instantly. Very convenient, cell phone in your pocket. You know, if you want to get on the information highway, a couple of clicks. It's amazing the information that's out there. The knowledge that daily multiplies exponentially. So many things are at our fingertips. So many things are convenient. And obviously, this attraction that we have for convenience can get out of hand, can get out of balance. And we end up becoming self-centered about things. We end up becoming lazy, you know, in our lifestyles and in our Christianity too. I mean, it's not an unheard of thing that people get divorced today because it's no longer convenient to be married. As soon as things go rough, how many young couples today, you know, get divorced? They just have a parting of the ways, you know. If that were the case, all the rough waters, I mean, I would have been divorced how many times already, huh, babe? Huh? All right? If it's just a matter of going through, so amen on that. I mean, the Lord is what keeps it. No, nobody is amening on that one. Huh? Nah, I love when you speak to people and they say, oh, we hardly ever fight, you know. I said, really? All right. Ah, okay. And there are thousands of children today that are aborted because it's not convenient to have children, right? That's how they sell it. It's just not convenient. And after all, it's just fetal tissue. So this thing can get out of balance, this convenience thing. And it can certainly spill over into our Christianity. So I am a master of stating the obvious, okay? Because nothing is obvious to me, all right? So there are two things for sure that you should not put off for a more convenient time. You should not put off your salvation for a more convenient time. When the Lord speaks to you, if he's speaking to you, the scriptures tell us, don't put that off. Move on it. Answer the call. Get saved. Humble yourself. And we should not also put off our service for the Lord till it's convenient. That's not a good thing. The scriptures bear that out. All right? So let's take a look at a couple of things today, all right? First of all, let's go to now. Let's deal with some obvious things. Now is the time to get saved. Don't put it off till it's convenient. All right. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, yes, I'm going in Hebrews. And I know it's a tribulation book. I know there's a brother here who's been reading through Hebrews nonstop. He's studying the book of Hebrews. So I'm just preaching from Hebrews tonight, all right? Just preaching here. But when it comes to your salvation, if you feel God drawing you to Him, don't delay. Come now. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You got this one underlined, don't you? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen? Amen? All right, there is no escape. And yes, I know he's speaking to the Hebrews here. But let's apply this spiritually here. Chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. No, amen. Look at verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. And of course, the preceding verse, in verse 13, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today, if the Lord is speaking to you, today is the day of salvation. Today you should move on that. Now, I'm assuming we're all here saved, right? But that's okay. We need to hear that. We need to have that urgency when we tell people, now's the time to get saved. Don't wait to go to church with me. Now's the time. Come on. Let's deal with it right now. Because the matter of fact is, God will not always strive with men. Did you know that? We're supposed to strive with mankind. We're never supposed to give up. But the scriptures say very clearly, in Genesis 6:3, he says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now he decides when to give up, not us. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. At some point, and God alone knows, and we can't do this, but God can give a man up to his lusts, can give a man up to his desires. And that's certainly what it says here in the book of Romans. At some point, there's that threat there. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 1 there. Romans, chapter 1, towards the end there. Verse 24, you have these underlined, the three times God is given up. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Also continue to read verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And again in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's scary. That's scary. When God gives them up. All right. So there is some point when God gives up. There is some point in your life when you've heard the gospel so many times. I wonder about people that we pray about continually. You're saying, gee, I hope they haven't reached that point that they're numb to the gospel. I hope they haven't reached that point. We are to continue to pray. But it's crossed my mind. Gee, I wonder, are they numb to it? Are they asleep in the light, you know? Have they reached a point in putting God off so many times that they are past feeling the stirring of God's Spirit? That's possible. That's very possible. Look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17. Look what it says here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Now, he's speaking to Christians, all right? But walk not, Ephesians 4:17, as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling, what feeling is he talking about? I think that's the moving of God's Spirit. Who being past feeling have given themselves over. You see, God gave them up, and now they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that's scary. That is really scary. To arrive at a point in your life that you've heard the gospel so many times that you're numb to it. It has no effect. You are beyond feeling. And inevitably, the scriptures tell us very clearly, a man's conscience can be seared on the matter. The threat is in 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared, burned with a hot iron, callous anymore to the things of God. And the most frightening verse to me, the most frightening verse to me is that verse in 2 Thessalonians. Look at that verse in 2 Thessalonians. After repeatedly hearing the gospel and refusing the call of God, a person can reach a state in their life that the following verse applies. 2 Thessalonians, if I didn't say 2, chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God, I underline that one, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That is scary to me. That God would send a strong delusion. Talk about God giving up. This is no longer passive. Now is God sending a strong delusion. For what purpose? Look what it says here. That they all might be, what? Damned. Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is scary. That is scary to me. And certainly so, if you sense God calling you, you tell your friend, now's the day. You work on that. Don't put it off for a convenient time. There's a man by the name of Felix who did such, who put off the gospel for a convenient time. Do you know his story? Look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. That word convenient pops right up. You know the story. Acts chapter 24. Let's look at verses 22 to 27. And when Felix, this is when Paul, remember, Paul is presenting the gospel, giving his own testimony here. And here we have in Acts 24, 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, which is the way of Christianity, correct, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He deferred them. Paul's like a hot potato, so he didn't want to deal with it. But he had his own motives in that. Look what it says here. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. How about that? Paul the apostle witnessing to you, giving you the gospel. Could it be any clearer? Verse 25. And as he reasoned of what? This is Paul. Of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Look at the response Felix had. Felix trembled. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a, what? Convenient season, I will call for thee. All right, now he had his own hidden motives there too. It says he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him, the oftener, and communed with him. Look at that. He sent for him the oftener. Talking about putting to the side the gospel. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, there's no other mention of Felix in the scriptures, so I'm left to, on this note, I'm left to think that he probably died a lost man, looking for a convenient time. That's not a good idea. If the Spirit of God is moving you, today is the day of salvation. Now's the time. Act on it. Act on it. All right? Now, if you aren't saved, and I'm assuming everybody here is saved, but the question is obviously, what is keeping you from acting? From acting on the Spirit of God, you know, Him calling you through the Scriptures, Him moving your heart. All right? And all I could really say is, you know, in response to that is, whatever's keeping you is just a lie. The devil's a liar. Nothing should keep you from coming to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing should keep you from salvation. All right, but there's also an urgency to get saved, and there's an urgency to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really the focus of tonight's lesson, all right? We should have the same urgency to work, to minister, as we need to get saved. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Now, Paul is writing to Corinthians, to Christians, right? Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Then he says right here, we then, as workers together with him. Now remember, the preceding chapter is mention of the judgment seat of Christ. All right, so that's important to know. All right. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, without purpose. All right, in other words, it was wasted upon you. He's talking to Christians right now, correct? Work is together with him, all right? For he saith, parenthetically, he says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So Paul is reminding them how God rescued them at the appropriate time. Keep that in mind. We need to keep that in mind when we serve the Lord, right? Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now listen to the things he describes. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. None of these things sound convenient to me. I don't know about you. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. I'll go to the period. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. I love that one right there. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. All right, so we should have this urgency, and convenience doesn't fall into this. It's not part of this. All right, let's continue to read. Let me state the obvious again. It is often inconvenient to serve the Lord. Amen? Goes against the grain of my flesh and a lot of times against my priorities, unfortunately. You know, but if we wait for a convenient time, we probably won't serve Him. All right? We ought to be willing to serve Him when He calls us to do so. And convenience shouldn't be an issue at all. Otherwise, someone else is going to have to serve him. Someone else is going to have to pick up the slack, right? Someone else will have to do the job. And there's two characters, two men, I should say, in the Bible that are described in such good terms. Timotheus and Epaphroditus. Let's take a look at them. Talking about men who were willing to serve the Lord when it wasn't convenient. Timotheus and Epaphroditus. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's take it from verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort. This is Paul writing. When I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Listen to the statement, next statement Paul makes. For all seek their own. See, that's convenience. For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. That is some comment there. Then he says in verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he had served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Listen to his credentials. My brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier with your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So Epaphroditus was sick and he was full of heaviness for them. Look what it says in verse 27. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now look at verse 30. This is the one I highlighted. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Doesn't sound like a very convenient thing to me. He was nigh unto death. Look what it says here. Not regarding his life. Not regarding his life. Talk about sacrifice. But then it says, look, to supply your lack of service toward me. You see, if you wait for a convenient time, someone else is going to have to take up the slack. And in this case, Epaphroditus was doing such. He was providing for their lack of service to Paul. And Paul's being very diplomatic here. All right, he's not really condemning them, but that's a point well taken. All right. And the point that Brother Dan had mentioned last time is a good one too. Let's take a look at Apollos. All right, because Apollos, unlike Timotheus and Epaphroditus, Apollos was a man given to convenience. All right. Look at Apollos' credentials in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. He had all the credentials. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Speaking of Apollos. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, underline this, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, how about that? He was fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he had some doctrinal issues. But hey, guess what? Verse 26, converts of Paul help him out. In verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So his doctrine was straightened out too. So as far as credentials are concerned, this man was eloquent. He was mighty in the scriptures. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit. He had all the credentials to be the man, all right? And he had his doctrine right, because Aquila and Priscilla helped him out with that, all right? Up until that point, he only knew the baptism of John. Apollos was a charismatic leader, too. He had his own fan club. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, they're debating over who is of Apollos, who is of Paul. Now, that was a carnal church, and it was the wrong thing to do that, but it speaks of his charisma. In 1 Corinthians 1:12, it says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I of Christ." Now, obviously, we're supposed to be all of Christ, but this man had enough charisma that he was a leader that people looked up to. But here's the point that I want you to note, that when Paul needed Apollos, and this is the point that Dan brought up last time, when Paul needed him, Apollos was stuck on convenience. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The man with the credentials, the man who had his own following, was stuck on convenience. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 12. "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him," this is Paul speaking, "I greatly desired him to come unto you. I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren." Now underline this. "But his will was not at all to come." His will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Now, Paul, when Paul has a problem with people, he names names. He doesn't mince words. But I think here, Paul's being very diplomatic. I think he's being sarcastic, too. You know, I don't think this is a good thing, the way Paul puts it. You know, for him to say about Apollos that his will was not at all to come, I think that's a negative, the way he's putting it, all right? And then to end it with, he will come when he shall have convenient time. You know what? A lot of times serving the Lord Jesus Christ is not convenient. But we have to go against the grain of convenience. And we have to do whatever he asks us to do, plain and simple, all right? It's too much of our time. We sacrifice our service on the altar of convenience. And I don't think that's a good thing. Amen? Amen. All right, look what it says here as far as how we ought to be. Because when it comes to serving, I think it's much later than we think, the time that we're in now. You know, I don't know what we're waiting for. I don't know what I'm waiting for when it comes to serving the Lord. I think the time is much later than we think. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Now, Paul was saying this back in his day. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." All right, putting convenience ahead of serving the Lord is making provision for the flesh. And I think a lot of the time, I'm mistaken. I don't realize how late we are on God's timescale. you know. I'm very casual about serving the Lord. And I don't know, what is it going to take to get me moving, you know? You know, what does it have to be, a red terror alert in Ground Zero, you know? I'm entertained by the terror alert. I don't know about you. As if that's really going to do anything for us, that terror alert, you know? I don't know, what is it going to take? I mean, who else has to be running for president for us to realize where we're at in this day and age? I don't know, what are we waiting for? What am I waiting for? How many friends does Israel have left? Count them. Count them. You can count them on one hand, can't you? You know, what are we waiting for? What am I waiting for? Am I waiting for a more convenient time? This is the time to serve the Lord. This is it. This is it. You know? Hey, look, just stand outside. I'm in the local high school every day. Just stand outside the local high school when they let out. And you'll be convinced this is the time. This is the generation. This is it. You know? So we can't put it off anymore. I can't put it off anymore. Forget convenience. Christianity isn't convenient. Christianity goes against the grain of flesh. And the only way we're going to do this is empowered by the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's my message for you tonight. Let's not wait till it's convenient. Let's start serving now. Let's start serving now, wholeheartedly. All right? I don't know what we're waiting for. I don't know what I'm waiting for. But I'm tired of that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'd move our hearts, Lord God. Cause us to act upon your words, Lord. Cause us to realize the time that we're living, Lord, how it is high time, Lord. I know what's it going to take, Lord. But Father, just move us, Lord. Move us even now. Father, as we have opportunity at work, cause us to reach out in love to make a difference, Lord. Cause us to live cleanly before our co-workers and neighbors, Lord, that they might ask, that we might be ready to give an answer, Lord. Father, just help us to be the men you want us to be, the women you want us to be, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.